Hello, welcome back to Messages to Me podcast. I am your host, Melissa James, and today, we are going to be talking about some stuff like, are black people the original Hebrews? No, we're going to talk about a few things, but that has definitely been a big topic of discussion amongst the black community, and certainly a big discussion within, I guess, the blog universe. I still haven't been going too much on blogs because after I took the break, I just feel so much lighter. Ugh, the toxicity was really getting to me, so I guess it matters. As you know, the format is always, what did I dream, what did I learn, and what did I see? So for today, what did I dream? It's going to be an interesting story because I haven't been remembering my dreams because I haven't been waking up to write them down, but the one I did remember, it's kind of a weird ride that I'll be taking you on with that one. And then when we get into what did I learn, that kind of ties into what I saw. So I'll probably go into what did I learn first and then circle back to it after I go through what I saw, because it kind of, like I said, it really does work together. So yeah, let's see what comes out of it today. Anyways, let's get into today's podcast, and I hope you guys are feeling great. We did have a full moon, it was pretty intense and all sorts of stuff, but for me it was actually a pretty good experience. I took some time to rest, and you guys probably noticed because this podcast should have came out on Monday, but it's coming out 11/11. Well, look at that. I guess it's also Remembrance Day. Is it Remembrance Day today? I think so. So yeah, as it is Remembrance Day, you know, I guess we remember our fallen soldiers as well. Yeah, I think I've rambled long enough. I really want to get you guys in on this rabbit hole that I went into when looking at civilization. But first, what did I dream? Boy, oh boy, the dreams I've been having have been so, so wild. But I've forgotten too many. And that's frustrating. But the one I remembered was where I was at. Okay, first of all, I was at a rich party. Like, when I say a rich party, like, this was in a cabin somewhere further out, and there were like other rich people there. I was one of the more, not poor, I was like your middle class version person. I obviously didn't have the same money as them. I got there with my bag, and they all had their like rooms picked out. We all kind of stayed on the same level in terms of like the way the rooms were set up. It wasn't like anyone had a luxury suite. Pretty much we all just had different bunk beds, but a nice, very comfortable space in this whole like big massive cabin place that we were out in who knows where. I know it was definitely somewhere rural, and as I'm going through this place, I see some like this, I meet this person. She's like an Asian lady and she's super rich, but she doesn't look rich. So she's really low key. And so I was like, oh, you know, like what brought you here or how'd you get here? Because you don't seem like one of these other rich people. And she's like, well, yeah, I did do quite a bit in my life. And then there's like a playback, a video of all the things she's done, almost like she's being honored at this event. So she was doing fencing, and she was very well known for fencing. She did tennis. She did horseback riding. All of these things happened in the stream, okay? And all these things are describing this person that I'm just casually chatting with. And so we're kind of going into a circle because how this event is set up, you have where you're staying, and then you walk around to see different things in this space. So, and then the last space that you visit is the desserts before you go back to your room. I don't know how long we were there. It could have, technically based on us having packed our bags, we should have been there for at least a night or a few nights, but we, like, I don't remember that happening. Anyway, so we keep walking, and then we get to the dessert room, and I notice all these beautiful desserts. Like, I'm talking bright yellow. And I pick up this like sponge looking cake with a layer of like custard maybe, or a layer of some sort of like filling in it. And it had a brush stroke of like purple blueberry across the outside. It was really pretty and very delicate, and I was just so amazed, like, can I have these? Because I'm feeling like I'm the poor person in this bunch, but really it's just how the place was set up. I don't even know how I became a part of this group. So I'm there, and as I get that, we continue walking, and then I notice people rushing to get their stuff and leave. So it's almost like they're rushing to just run back to their room, pack their stuff. So you know when, like, you know if you see in a movie or a show people looting, so it looks like they're snatching up everything quick and getting out of there? It was kind of like that. All of a sudden, it was a switch. And I'm just like, okay, what's going on? But, you know, I guess I'm still a black person in my dreams, because I was like, all right, I better get my stuff and snatch it up too and get out of here, because I'm not going to be the last person here. Only to find out that you don't want to be the last person there in this whole cabin space, because then the spirits that are in the space will come in, will keep you there, so you don't leave ever again. And I guess either you become like a spirit too, or you stay there, and that's, it's almost like a, maybe a sacrifice as part of the, I don't know, it calls all these people to this extravagant experience, and maybe, a sacrifice of some sort. Anyways, remember my last dream? What's with these sacrifices? So as I see this is happening, I'm trying to pack my bag, and then I'm thinking like, oh, I don't have as much stuff as I left with. So I realized then, oh yeah, I brought stuff, but those were things that weren't meant to come back with me. They were just to stay there. So I leave them there, and they were used in the space, and I pack up my bags really quickly, and I don't have too much, and like the numbers are dwindling down, so I'm not trying to be the last person, but definitely you could see people have already left. And we go outside, you could see cars driving away, we get into our car and we drive, so we're good, like we're out of there. But then there's another building, and you could see like these blue spirits like circling the building. And so I guess whoever was last ended up becoming whatever, but I didn't see much from there. But my friend goes, oh no, I left something in that other building, not the same one where we had to escape first, but another one. So we don't know much about the building. We don't know if you try to go in after, if the spirits will try to keep you, but just seeing those blue spirits, and they're like transparent. It's almost like a Casper. It looks like Casper almost. So it's like blue, and they have all different kind, like different faces. Scary, but I wasn't scared. Like, they just look like deceased people, if anything, or old bodies. And so they're floating around all throughout this dream. And then they, like, we look at the place, but we don't ever go to it. It's like, so I'm like, well, we'd have to drive in really quickly, and one of us will have to keep watch to make sure that they don't try to do anything. And we kind of look at the building, kind of trying to assess whether it's worth it to go back and get whatever this person needed, or whether we should just move on. And then I woke up. So yeah, when I tell you, I have no idea what this dream could truly mean, or where, what direction the dream is even going, or what story it's trying to tell me. I'm just like, what? Where are we going with this? So that was my dream, and I would love to hear from you guys what you think that was even about, because I don't know. I really, really don't know. But if I was to take a guess, okay, this is my guess on certain elements of this dream. The whole sacrifice thing, considering this was a theme in my last dream, and it definitely stood out, it feels as though maybe there is a letting go process, that for people it feels like it's a sacrifice, because we're not able to move forward without, I don't know. It just seemed like, you know, in both dreams, let me go back. In both dreams, the whole sacrificial part wasn't something sad. It was like a celebration. So it almost seems like people are ready to let go of something with a positive intent. And maybe because it doesn't truly impact them, because they end up leaving, like in this dream especially. I don't know. Like, we're willing to kind of, maybe it is a societal thing again, where, you know, the people who have power are willing to just let people go, and people are at the expense of the rich. Like, I don't know. I'm not really sure where to go with it. But anyways, that was one thing. The piece that I feel like stood out to me was just the whole spirits thing. Like, them floating around. I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, maybe they're just very, And then the fact that they were blue and white. Like, is there any significance in those colors? I don't actually know. Maybe I should reflect before we do this. So next time, I'm going to read up on some possible meanings for this dream as I slowly maybe get to decipher dreams. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was so interesting. And just the low-keyness of that rich person, I was in awe. Like, so this is the life. Maybe this is foreshadowing that I might be able to, or maybe I was actually over in another place in the dream and I was able to see like the other side of living rich people's lives. I don't know. I'm gonna just leave that there because I really don't even know where to go with this dream interpretation, and I feel like the more I try to come up with something, the further I get from what it probably means. Interestingly enough, I was never scared. As much as I packed quick, it was like, obviously, I just don't want to be the last person here, but I was never scared. And that reminds me every single time that my spiritual practice and my belief and my faith in God is heavy, because usually if I get scared, it's just because there's distance in my relationship with God, but not in this dream. So yeah, that's what I dreamt this week. We'll see Wagwan. Oh, maybe the sacrifice was the fact that they're sacrificing Kyrie Irving, or trying their best to, for him simply being in the same place as them and having access to the same riches and power. Anyways, let's move on. So now, as I told you, I'm gonna share what I learned, because I had my therapy session just the other day, and it was such a beautiful session. And I've been working with a therapist because I felt like I was getting a lot of anxiety and my overthinking was getting to a whole different level. I was just getting frustrated with my thoughts and frustrated with how I was feeling. And so my therapist was telling me, like, things have really improved. She looked at me and she was like, I was like, what do you think of all this? Because I told her, I think we could extend it to 2 weeks now because I feel like I'm in a great place. And she's like, I think you are remembering yourself and that's why we're here. And it's funny because my first therapist, who I had a great relationship with, but he just didn't have any space on his roster after I stopped to take me back. And but it's okay. Chris is amazing. So she said, you know, that I'm remembering myself. And he said the exact same thing. Like, this transitional phase is you just remembering yourself. And what I thought was so beautiful about that is, like, the overthinking, the anxiety, sometimes even the depression, because that's what triggered the first set of therapy. It's really about getting so far into a place that you don't even recognize who you are. And I'm wondering if this is really some of the causes of depression for people, just no longer recognizing who they've become or who they are, what makes them happy and what makes life worth living after a point, you know? So I don't know, just something interesting that I thought was cool. And then the thing she also said about therapy, or what she was saying, because we were reflecting on why things were going so well for me, and it was my family is part of it, as yeah. And I was just saying to her that I really feel like my family's in a great place. Like, we're not perfect, but we're all right, you know? And like, we can enjoy each other's company, we can enjoy time together, and there's no issues there. So with doing therapy, I was able to acknowledge how great things have been going for my family, and I like these people, right? And I also reflected on the fact that, like, you know, we always talk about the traumas created within our families and the issues, and surely there are traumas that, you know, sometimes you just never want to go back and connect with those people ever again. But for those traumas that are not that deep, or that were, you know, arguments, and I'm not going to say completely surface level, because it does emotional damage, it does body damage, but for the things that felt a little bit less deep than maybe a situation of assault or even rape, even, I don't know, whatever crazy stuff that may have happened. I think when we are families that have conflicts, we have to learn to forgive and move on and move forward, because there's value in the people in front of us when we no longer see them as the people they were. And she had mentioned that we have snapshots in our mind of the people we know, in that keeps our attention on that version of that person versus who they're becoming or who they are now. So for example, my mom, I've had this snapshot of her as this, you know, a hard-headed person, or just difficult and not understanding me and just scattered and so many different things. And I realized the person she is today is someone who doesn't give up and doesn't use age as a reason why she can't start new things, and she works hard and she tries many different things for sure, but she's also like just doing what she can. She's doing the best for her in the way she knows is best for her to function and be happy. So it was like, you know, when I think about her like that, it's so different than me thinking about her as a snapshot, because then whenever I see her, I think of the snapshot version of her, and I don't give her the chance to be who she deserves to be in front of me, and I don't give her the chance to be really even authentic to who she is, because I'm already formulating in my head a judgment or formulating a response to what I think she's going to do in my presence. So it's just interesting to learn this sort of thing. So yeah, snapshots. So if you have snapshots of people around you, and this could include yourself as well, if you have an idea in your mind of who either you are or who other people are, maybe it might be time, if you're ready for this, to reflect on who they are now. If they've gotten to a better place, if they've grown, maybe it's time to let go of that snapshot and stay focused on some of the great things that that person is embodying, and give them the space to show you and create a new experience with you based on the new person they've become. So that is one of my learnings for this week. And I really hope you can use that, because it really helped me a lot. Like, I had to think about people I know and stuff like that, and just give thanks for them, you know? But we're going to talk about the things that I saw this week. So as I started with the Hebrew conversation, I think it's worth it to speak about this, because I feel like there might be, well, one, I have a completely different take on this whole blacks as the original Hebrews, and I have an also very middle ground approach to how we want to move forward with this information, if we want to use this information to go forward. So you saw the whole stuff with Kyrie. I'm actually a fan of him. I don't watch basketball, but he's always struck me as someone who's level-headed, and someone who isn't really here about just being a rich guy in the industry, who's not here to stunt on people, but really here just to do his best in the field he's in. Like, he seems very genuine and just an overall nice person. So it kind of, it's terrible what they're trying to do to him, considering, like, if you see the interview, you may think it could have sounded arrogant to people. how he spoke to the reporter. It was clear to me, and probably clear to Kyrie, that the reporter was more looking for a moment to be able to be the first to hold Kyrie by the bootstrap. And also, yeah, that's the whitest thing I've ever said. Clearly, he was trying to be the first person to hold him, to crucify him. I think that's the best word. Because really what we're seeing is like, you don't speak your thoughts kind of situation. You play ball and that's it. But I mean, these are humans we're talking about. Like they're not just entertainers. They're people. And if a person educates themselves and they see they have influence, I think they would use their platform as a reasonable person to share anything insightful they come across. And with the video, literally all he did was share something insightful that he came across, and it turned into, well, he's an anti-Semite, which is interesting because he apologized and said, well, no, but I apologize if anything offended people in that video. I was simply trying to share something that was educational for himself and potentially for others. So yeah, I'm not planning on watching it because I've gone through this process already of learning about a lot of this stuff. And yeah, so this situation with Kyrie, it's messed up. Like, bottom line, it's messed up. This is not a Kanye situation. It's extremely different. Extremely different. So yeah, what was shared was shared, without endorsement, without any intention to hurting anybody else. And if there was hurt to that community, it was very clearly acknowledged and apologized for. But what we want further than that is really interesting. But my goal wasn't to talk about Kyrie's situation. It was actually to talk about the Hebrew side of things, which is the idea that blacks are the original Hebrews and not the Jews that we see today. And so that means that black people would be the descendants of Abraham, the true descendants of Abraham. And that would would make them the chosen people according to the Bible. So my feelings are this on what I've seen. If this information is what it takes for black people to build community together, to trust each other, undo the internal effects of feeling less than because of how society has made many black people to feel. If this documentary or if this information of being the original Hebrews helps black people to become better, then cool. That to me is a great tool temporarily to support the betterment of the black community. However, at some point, there would have to be further work done as a community to recognize that we exist before the Bible and that the Bible is still largely Eurocentric. Even the scriptures, the original one that I even have a copy of because I was there in these classes with Hebrew Israelites learning, even having the scriptures, there was still very little, in my personal opinion, that has changed besides the name of God and besides, I guess, some smaller pieces. It still tells me the story a European man would want me to know and to internalize. So in so many ways, besides the name of God, the Bible for me and the scriptures that I have is not an accurate historical document. It is not an accurate historical text. So, on the other hand, I think when it comes to black Hebrews, I think one, not all of us would be black Hebrews in the first place because there has been civilizations prior to, like the Khoisan, who we know has been around for ages. Their DNA the men's DNA predates Adam's DNA, bro. Anyways, I probably sound like a conspiracy theorist, but no, like, there's science behind this as well. And I know science isn't always 100%, but I don't think that we can't ignore science and completely. And we utilize intuition and science hand in hand to find greater balance. We find balance between our two brains. The left and right brain work together. They're not meant to be separate. We don't think specifically, I mean, only scientifically. We think intuitively and scientifically. And pairing those together will give us the greatest ability to actually see what is truth and decipher it from illusion. So yeah, when it really comes down to all of this, if we're looking at a almost 4 billion year old planet and we're looking at a textbook that's 6,000 years, I think it's fair to say we're probably missing quite a bit. And since that 6,000 year span had so many things taking place on other parts of the world, I think it's safe to say we're missing a lot of information about really what civilization looked like. And what God was doing with the rest of the world. For me, when it comes to the Bible, to focus on this small group compared to the vast majority of peoples living all across the planet, Aboriginal people, indigenous people, and this isn't about, oh, black indigenous people are more superior. No. I mean, we're talking black indigenous people everywhere. We're talking brown skin indigenous people everywhere. We're talking fair skin indigenous people everywhere. We're talking about indigenous people in general. We have to recognize they have beautiful stories to be told about the history of this planet, beautiful stories that need to be told about what we do as people to sustain, how we can sustain a better environment, how we can bring intuition deeper into our society to support the growth of society in a way that is supportive of this planet and not taking from this planet, not destroying this planet. Aboriginal and indigenous people have been here for so long. They were supposed to be wiped out how many times by Europeans? And till this day, they could not. I mean, they probably were successful with some. Terrible. They're here for a reason. They're here to teach us. All indigenous people are here to teach us. Their knowledge, their lineage, their ancestry tells us that we have purpose here and that there's much more that we can do together with the knowledge of everyone and with the support of science and technology to make things more sustainable, to make things enjoyable for all of us to live in peace and harmony. And the one thing we would avoid doing is actually communicating with each other and indigenous people to see how we can do better as people. So I want us to know as black people that regardless of the Bible, you must know that you are important and that you are not even like, you must know that you're worthy. Like, you should feel that within yourself before someone tells you you are a chosen person. And I get also the Hebrew, blacks as Hebrews. It's easy for black people to adopt on this side of the world because we've been indoctrinated into Christianity and Catholicism. So naturally, anything that uses the Bible for reference is easier for us to grasp mentally. But this is, again, going back into a space of the ego and going back into a space of, do I want to say illusion? Not really. This is us going back into a space where we've been controlled to then decide how we're going to change our story. So we're still receiving our story from Europeans and then trying to write another story with those exact same words, even though within us we have the ability to create new words, create new sentences, create new forms of communication. We have that within us, but we're going to fall back on using what they have given us to create this story. Not to mention, Europeans have largely told us what civilizations look like, and they ignored so many parts of Africa with the intention of making it seem that Egypt was again white, and that civilization and empire literally only came from lighter-skinned people, white people. So what makes you believe that the Bible, this text, isn't doing the same thing? I just don't get it. I'm not going to understand that. And so I think we still need to do more research. We need black archaeologists. We need darker people archaeologists. We need people who are archaeologists from marginalized communities, because they need to do the work that the people in power don't want done. Anyway, so that's a big piece for me. And as we talk about this Hebrew thing over and over, I just really hope that people will simply just do the work to go inside, go internally, and remember that you don't need to be the chosen people of God to be treated as a special person. You don't need to be, to believe you're the chosen people of God to know that you're chosen by God to be the most amazing, most important version of yourself, period, regardless of who we think a chosen person is. And also, if this is about, well, now we're the chosen people, so we should technically be having more power and yada yada yada, if it's about power politics, then I don't want to hear it. It's not a competition. It's not about that. It's about us just being the best for ourselves so that we can be the best for the ones around us. So I don't want this to somehow segue into, well, they're not the chosen people, we are, because it's not a competition. And imagine, you think God, in the greatness that God is sitting back like, nah, these are specifically the people I chose to be the number ones on this planet. No, why? Like, do you know how primitive that is? Do you know how much you take away from what God actually is? Like, this is the other part that really bugs me in this, and I have to bring it back down, because if we truly know God the way we say we do, we would never get into the politics over who is chosen versus who is not. We are God's people, period. All of us. We are one with the Creator. The Creator is one with us at every minute, every given second. There's not a moment where we're separated. There's only moments where we believe we are separated. And that is the illusion that we live in on a daily basis. And our only goal is to decipher truth and be our best selves. So let's not get into it. Let's just know that we are God's children. So, yeah. That's where I'm going with this. That's how I'm ending today's podcast. I hope you feel enlightened enough to realize, like, the work begins with you seeing yourself as not God's number one, but the work begins with you being your best version of yourself, knowing God within you and building that relationship. And everything else can flow after, but everything else that flows will be so different than what you thought it was before, because it will be true. Yeah, so that's today's podcast. Yeah, I'm going to just sign off now because I said a mouthful and this is at 41 minutes. Got to cut this down, yeah? So I'll see you guys next week, hopefully.